listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is our content editor, Dr. Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are continuing our study of James, Living Out Your Faith, and this is Session 5, Faith on Display in Facing the Enemy. Wow. So sometimes, though, we can be our own worst enemy. Culture and the ways of the world can often be enticing and appealing to us and to our sin nature. And so that just trips us up. But this is what we have to do. We have to trust Christ and submit to Him. We can be victorious over anything, whether it's the world, whether it's Satan, whether it's ourselves. We can be victorious when we trust Christ. And so our session today is James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10.
All right, so our point is, you can stand triumphantly in Christ over sin, the world, and Satan. What a great thought. So how does faith help us triumph over sin, the world, and Satan? First, faith understands the source. Faith understands the source. Let's read verses 1 through 3. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Right, so here it is. Faith understands the source. He says, where does all this stuff come from? And where does all this stuff come from? When people talk about the troubles in America, whether it's the gridlock in Washington or the bitterness in people's lives or all this, I tell them, follow the money, right? And so here it is. What's the source? It says, don't they come from your passions and wage war within you? Basically, it says you want to have stuff. You murder and covet, but you can't obtain that way. You fight and wage war. He said, but you don't have because you don't ask. Ultimately, he is reminding us that everything is in God's hand and in God's power. And rather than trying to take circumstances in our own hands, he says, we really should ask. And he says, ultimately, though, we don't receive when we ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures, right? So how many times has somebody talked about, name it and claim it, get it and grab it, right? But you don't get from God that way. You don't get from God when you ask in order to just satisfy your personal pleasures. God has bigger things in mind. He has a kingdom focus, huh? He's got an eternal plan he is working out, and not just our individual pleasures. And so just keep that in mind. Consider faith understands what our real source is. Our source is God, but we have to come to Him the right way. What are you seeing here, Christina?
Right. And the source of these wars and fightings is our own passions. You know, we are I want to use the word greedy, but sometimes that's what it's all about. We're coveting. And so this is a passage that have been read often, and I think sometimes we just gloss over it because we really don't get a deep understanding of what this is all about. We just, you know, it says very clearly that you do not have because you do not ask. And so this is helping us to understand that we would rather take or fight for those things that we feel that we deserve rather than going to God. And so we have a lot of disruptions in the church. And then the other point that James made so well here is that when we focus our prayers, when we finally pray about something, if it doesn't advance God's glory, then that means it's coming out of a selfish heart. So a good test of our prayers could be, is what we're asking for bringing glory to God? You know, if it's about something that we just want to spend on ourselves to have for ourselves, to covet, then, and it's not bringing glory to God, then we're not praying according to God's will, and we should not even use the name of Jesus in our prayers. So we need to understand that there's a source. Our blessings do come from God, but this mess that we sometimes get ourselves in comes from people's own passions.
All right, so faith understands the source, but faith is on the good side. Let's read this next section. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think that it's without reason that the scripture says the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? So there it is. So just a reminder to us as we look at this second section. Faith is on the good side because there is a bad side, right? We don't want to be adulterous people. We don't want to, you know, be a friend of God and a friend of the world. Remember, he calls the church the bride of Christ. And so if we're out dibbling and dabbling with somebody other than the bride, we're adulterous people, right? So friendship with the world is hostility toward God. This ought to be something that you just take a while to just think about. Let this sink in, because it really does make a difference in terms of our lives, our view of the word, our perspective, where we go, what we do, when we recognize that there really is a huge difference and distinction between being on God's side and being against God. And he says, whoever is the friend of the world is the enemy, huh? The enemy, not just a more distant friend, the enemy of God. This is powerful. And he reminds us that we have a spirit inside of us. This is not now talking about the Holy Spirit, but he there's a spirit inside us that envies intensely. We have this in our sinful nature, this idea of envying, wanting something that somebody else has. And so we need the Holy Spirit to bring that under control. What are you seeing here, Christina?
You know, this is something that we see all the time, though, that a lot of believers, and I put that in quotes, A lot of believers want it both ways. They want God, they want to worship God, but they want to experience what the world offers. And it's pretty clear here what James is saying, that if that's what you're thinking, then you're an enemy of God. You know, if you think about the word adultery, adulterous, you know, that's something that, of course, we relate to marriages when one of the spouses is not being faithful. So in essence, we're not being faithful to God when we're trying to experience what the world is offering rather than being faithful to what God has for us. And you know, when we think about it, if you really sit down and think about it, then what God offers is so much better than what the world has to give, because this world is going to decay, it's going to fade away, it's going to come to an end, but what God offers is eternal and it will last forever. And that's what we should look forward to, and that's what we should be working for every single day, is for the eternal spiritual aspect of our lives.
All right. All right. So keep this in mind. Faith understands the source. Faith is on the good side, and faith submits to God. There's the challenge right there. Let's read these last verses, 6 through 10. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So, wow, what a great word this is, as we think in this last point, that faith submits to God. That's all. Ultimately, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble are those who are willing to submit, willing to say, not my way or not my will, but your will. And just keep this in mind. He gives grace to the humble, right? Submit to God, resist the devil. Huh? Sometimes the reason that the devil has been staying on some of our tracks is because we have not been resisting him. But if you resist him, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So this is all about humbling ourselves, humbling our attitude, humbling our desires, humbling our lives, so that we can truly be in line with God and his will, and carry out God's purpose for our lives. So faith submits to God. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yes, and this is a way out. You know, we've messed up. That's what we talked about when we were talking about friendship with the world. But God, in his love and his compassion, gives us a way out. And it's not just grace, but it's greater grace. So, you know, to me, that suggests, wow, he's really willing to do this for us. This is his never-ending love. And it says that, you know, as Paul, Mark has already shared with us here, that God has given us ways that we get out of what the predicament that we're in. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So all of this is just wonderful for those of us who have sidestepped and committed adultery. We can come back. God always has a path back. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
So this is a great message. This is a great message for us. this whole idea of submitting ourselves to God. We always want to think we have a better way. I know the way. I know what I want. I know how to get it. I know how to get there. And the Bible says, look, instead of imposing your will and believing that you have a better plan than God, humble yourself. Huh? Get off your pride ride and humble yourself so that God can have his perfect work happen in your life. This is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a challenge as we go through our classes with this lesson here on today. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want to remind everybody to get your own copy of the U Bible Study. You can get your copy at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats, has a teacher's guide in the back of the book, daily devotional pages to keep you engaged in the Word of God every day. It comes with a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Christina, give us our teaching tip for today.
Our teaching tip for today, Mark, is focus on the point. And this can help because, as you said, this is a difficult lesson. So as teachers, meditate on the point of this session. You can stand triumphantly in Christ over sin, the world, and Satan. That's the point. So determine that you're going to teach toward the point so that it will be received by the learners. And then use the session question, how does faith help us triumph over sin, the world, and Satan? And note that the subheads guide in answering the question. Learning the biblical text is important, but the ultimate goal is to give learners a truth that they can apply to their lives. And we desperately need the truth of this lesson. So do your work. Do your preparation. And this time, please use meditation, meditating on the point. Use prayer, because this is really a topic that will help the learners and is so needed in where we are today.
All right, so humble yourself as you teach this lesson because it's going to be powerful. And we're going to pray that God will use it to draw your class members closer to him. Join us again for another U Bible Study podcast because you never know where God will take you.